600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk was having a very difficult time living in Jerusalem. The prophet Habakkuk was experiencing misery and strife within the kingdom of Judah because of political corruption, idol worship, and sexual promiscuity. He witnessed violence and destruction as the king of Babylon destroyed and burned the city of Jerusalem and carried the people off to exile. With all this misery and destruction all around him, it appears to Habakkuk that God has abandoned him. Today's powerful first reading is part of Habakkuk's brutally honest prayer to God. I cry for help, O Lord, but you're not listening. I cry out to you, violence. Can't you see the violence in this city? But you do not intervene to save us. Why do you let me see iniquity, sin, and wickedness? Why must I look at evil and injustice? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. Now, if I didn't tell you at the beginning that that prayer was from 2,600 years ago, you might think that it was composed last week. It seems like every day we hear news of a terrorist attack or a shooting at a school, office building, movie theater, shopping mall, marathon, military base, subway train, political rally, or even a church or a synagogue. Don't you sometimes feel like praying like Habakkuk? How long, oh Lord, will you let this continue? I cry out to you for help, but it doesn't seem that you're listening. Or are you on vacation? Or are you taking a long winter's nap? There is war and destruction and violence and terror all around us, Lord, but you are not intervening to make it stop. I've been praying for an end to the evil of abortion for over 50 years, but it's still legal in this state. And you haven't done anything to stop it. Why do you let us see iniquity and injustice and the death of so many innocent children within the wombs of their mothers? And why do you let us see the abuse and even murder of children outside of their mothers' wombs? So, why doesn't God stop these terrible things? Why doesn't he strike the terrorists and the murderers down with lightning and just zap them? How can a good God allow these terrible things to happen? When our beautiful young people ask these very important questions, I usually ask them some easier questions, like, why does God allow you to pull your sister's hair? Why does God allow you to lie to your parents? Why does God allow you to call your classmates names? Why does he allow you to push someone down on the playground? Why does God allow you to cheat on your spelling test? Well, the answer becomes a little easier. God gives us freedom. Freedom. We're not marionettes on a string where God is pulling our arms and our legs. God gives us freedom because he wants us to love him. But God takes the risk that we could freely choose to go away from God. Jesus didn't force anyone to believe in him. He's a gentleman. He didn't twist the Pharisees' arms and say, believe in me or else I'll strike you dead. Many, many people walked away from Jesus and followed him no longer. We have that same freedom. We can choose Christ or reject him. We can choose life or death. We're free to choose. And so you see, the destruction and the violence and the ruin and the misery that we experience is not part of God's plan. No, it's a result of sin, the result of people freely choosing to go against God. The choice is up to us every single day to choose life or to choose death, to choose to be a follower of Jesus were to choose to walk away from him. And although the murder and violence and destruction that we're witnessing these days is indeed a great abomination, it's a great evil, it is not a surprise to me. It's not surprising. Over 31 years ago, on the 3rd of February, I remember that day because it's my dad's birthday. On the 3rd of February, 1994, a little nun by the name of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta was invited to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. I remember this well. I was in the seminary, and I remember she didn't want to go. And so she called up her very good friend, Pope St. John Paul II, and asked for his wise counsel. And John Paul II said, "Mother Teresa, you must go to the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. So, in obedience to the Pope, off she went. She was so short of stature, you couldn't see her behind the podium. They didn't even bring a little platform for her to stand on, so you could only barely see her eyes. And with President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton seated next to the podium, Mother Teresa boldly said that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use violence to get what they want." Isn't that prophetic? Any country that accepts abortion is teaching its people to use violence to get what they want. So you can see there is a direct connection between ending abortion and ending the other violence we see in today's world. What's the answer? What's the answer? The answer is the same as it has always been. Jesus. Jesus is the answer. A few years ago, a math teacher gave a test to his students. The third question on the test was secant squared x times 1 minus cosine squared x equals tangent squared x. What is x? And in the space provided, one student wrote his answer to the problem: Jesus. The teacher wrote back on the student's paper in red ink, "Not on this test. You fail." But that student actually did get it right. Jesus is always the answer to every problem. The answer to all the violence in our world today is simple. Believe in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. But sadly, so many people don't want to come to Jesus to have life. Jesus said that. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus says, "You did not want to come to me to have life." Isn't that sad? Doesn't that break your heart? It breaks his sacred heart. Because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Choosing life, choosing Jesus, who is life, is the only answer. But sadly, so many people don't want to come to Jesus to have life. The Lord's message to Habakkuk in the second part of the first reading is to be patient and to have faith. God says to Habakkuk, "For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment. It will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come." What is the vision that Habakkuk sees? The vision is about Jesus Christ, who eventually comes in glory and destroys the forces of evil forever. We already know the end of the story. Jesus wins. Jesus destroys sin and Satan and death and darkness forever. We already know the end of the story. So if he delays for a little while, wait for him. Be patient and trust. Believe and trust that Jesus Christ will come and save us. He will not disappoint. He will always be victorious over all the forces of evil in this world. The just one, because of his faith in Jesus, shall live. Amen.